Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast. We are once again broadcasting from a remote location somewhere on the planet. That's what we can assure you of. We are on the planet. Hey, I trust that you're having a great day today. We're looking forward to one ourselves. And there's so much going on in the world today, but I want to kind of pick up where I left off yesterday for a few minutes until we get our dear friend Daniel Seckham calling into the broadcast today. And that is with a particular verse of scripture that we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. So yesterday we were talking about the kingdom of God, and we saw that the new covenant is all about the kingdom. In fact, we know that Jesus preached the kingdom, that the apostles preached the kingdom. The kingdom is a very powerful reality that the born-again believer must begin to understand. And one of the interesting passages out of Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 12, says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." The violent take it by force. And when you think about the kingdom of God being taken, that's a very interesting thought. And the word violent there literally means the energetic, figuratively, or a forcer. So we have the energetic take it by force. And I cannot personally imagine anybody on the planet more energetic than those who have the Holy Spirit living in their lives. The Holy Spirit is the energy of God. Now, you could take as many great vitamins as you want. You could use as many drugs as you want. You could enhance your body through all kinds of different steroids or whatever you want to do. But quite frankly, those things don't give you the strength you need to possess the kingdom or to take the kingdom or take hold of the kingdom. And so the kingdom of God is something to be taken hold of, but only the energetic, only the born again, only the baptized, spirit-filled, men and women of God will be able to do this, because I believe that the kingdom that is to be apprehended is something to be apprehended by our spiritual vision, our spiritual eyes of faith, our comprehension, our understanding of the kingdom. And in a world that we live with the limited perception, the limited ability of our limited brain, if you will, it's very difficult to understand how or what we're possessing. but through the eyes of faith, looking into the Word of God, there is a spiritual energy that is in the Holy Spirit that allows one to literally take hold of the kingdom. That means once you and I see it and then apprehend it, now we're operating in a way of life that is not just worldly or subject to the things of this world. The kingdom of God is way beyond this world. We know that. And yet it's a present reality in the times that we are living in. So first of all, I believe Jesus was saying that if you're going to apprehend the kingdom, if you're going to take hold, then you must be energized by the Holy Spirit to do so. And then there's another scripture that I want to talk about here in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. In Acts 14, 22, talking about the Apostle Paul said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Why is it that through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God? So obviously, if you put those two verses together, the saint of God is being pressed upon. There's much tribulation that they must go through in order to take hold of. So the energetic, let's go back to what it said in Matthew 11, the energetic, the violent, will take the kingdom. Why? Because the energetic, the born-again, baptized, spirit-filled saints of God will have the divine energy to go through the great pressure, the great tribulation, in order to enter into the kingdom. And again, our entrance into the kingdom has nothing to do in the first place with a physical reality. It is a spiritual migration into a spiritual reality. And the kingdom of God must be understood and viewed by those who are born again to be a spiritual truth. The unbelieving world will think of the kingdom of heaven as something far away in another world or something physical, or that, but it's very difficult for them to apprehend or comprehend the fact that the kingdom of heaven is a present reality. It's been around for a very long time. And God has given the spirit, the divine energy to his people, those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, to have the ability to enter in. Now, is it a one-time deal? Just presto, you're in? No, it is through much tribulation, much pressure, because there are forces that are aligned and designed to keep the individual out. Because that once an individual enters into this kingdom, they begin to operate in a supernatural power like Jesus did. Jesus walked on this earth in a divine, supernatural power, unction, and anointing, and performed the greatest miracles, from walking on water to commanding the heavens to drop down, whatever was necessary, healing the sick, raising the dead. This was all the activity of the kingdom that was in the Holy Spirit, which we talked about yesterday. So the last thing that the devil wants you to do, or the devil wants me to do, is to enter into the kingdom. And if we keep the kingdom as an after-death experience or something to be attained after this physical life, well, we're never going to be a threat to the powers of darkness. And I do not believe that the Holy Spirit is an afterthought or an after effect. The Holy Spirit is present right now in you and I. And so the devil knows that if one of us gets through into the kingdom through this pressure and tribulation, that it's the undoing of his nasty work in the sphere of influence that we would walk in. Because everywhere we go, we would be doing the works of Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine in these last days, through the divine acceleration of God's Spirit, a quickening going on in the lives of men and women around the world, that there will be those energized to break through, enter into the kingdom, possess it, take hold of it, and then begin to bring it down into the earth, manifest it, so that the works of the devil will be destroyed. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do, was to destroy the works of the devil. So this is my opening statement today, but before I go any further, I want to bring my dear friend and brother Daniel Seckham onto the airwaves all the way from Australia. Good morning, Daniel Seckham. How are you today, sir? It's been a long time since we've talked.
It has. It's been a fortnight. It's been it's an absolute pleasure to be with you once again.
Well, again, I marvel at modern-day technology, Daniel. I'm sitting in a remote place outside of Northwest Arkansas on a little tiny computer, and here we are talking from around the world, and you're coming through loud and clear. And it's interesting, what was really in my heart today, and here's where your expertise comes in. I was thinking about the cultural wars that are going on in our country right now, and I was looking at an article from the Catholic Church that there are over, I think, 200 different faith-based groups last year that were together on this, and then this year they came together, and they're going to put colors in the ashes for Ash Wednesday to represent the LGBT community. Talk about a culture war. That's insane.
It is insane. We're seeing a mass capitulation. It's a mass capitulation to the powers of darkness, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. And it's interesting, as the LGBT activists step up their attacks, as they become more and more brazen in their persecution of Christianity, the churches that are basically wafer thin in regard to their faith are folding. They're folding. We're finding out just how loyal they are to Christ, and it's basically they're not loyal at all. They would rather appease the world than to stand with Christ. And it's very telling. But again, all this hasn't taken God by surprise. Remember what Jesus said. He said in the last days there would be an increase of wickedness and many will fall away from the faith. And we're seeing it before our very eyes.
And Daniel, you know, this kind of blasphemy, and again, I don't want to get just, you know, worldly here and angry about things, but I cannot imagine anything more blasphemous than the homosexual community or churches in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, coloring the ashes that represent Ash Wednesday, which is a time of repentance and conviction and confession leading up to what we call Easter in our vocabulary. I just can't imagine that somebody would put colors in the ashes and they put those ashes on people's heads. And in the sign of a cross, and here they are with the color of the rainbow representing the homosexual pride. To me, that seems extremely blasphemous, and yet it's going on around the world.
It is extremely blasphemous, but it gets worse. There was a pastor and a rabbi who actually went to bless one of the late-term abortion facilities in the United States. I forget which state it was in. But it was a pastor and a rabbi, they went in to bless the facility. And they said that it is a holy space. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I saw that about a week ago or so. And I was just marveling. So let's bring a little scriptural context and let's move in it, because I really believe that you have something in you this morning that needs to be spoken and released. Concerning the cultural war that we are in, and I want to give you plenty of time to do that. But here's the scripture that comes to mind, Daniel. And this is, I've read this for years and years and years, but it seems to be so much more of a reality at this moment. God is talking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says in verse 10 of chapter 1, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." And this was interesting because God was speaking through the prophet to the leaders of Israel. And yet he was calling the Israeli leaders, the leaders of Sodom and the leaders of Gomorrah, because Israel had turned itself into that same kind of spirit. And obviously when we're talking about the United States, it's the same way, Daniel. I mean, God may as well say, "Listen, you leaders of Sodom and Gomorrah," and speak to our national leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible, isn't it? I mean, this is something that if you were to tell if you were to go back in time and tell people 10 years ago that this stuff would be happening, they would never have believed you. That just goes to show how much of a gigantic cultural shift that we are experiencing at the moment. The cultural shift that we are experiencing is monumental in its proportions, and people need to understand that. One of the things that's very disconcerting is the fact that even normal Christian doctrine is now considered hate speech. There was a gay couple who were waiting to receive their wedding invitations, and they got sent the wrong box. They got sent the wrong print shipment. And what they found when they opened up the box was a bunch of Christian leaflets that were simply instructing Christians on how to abstain from sin and how to resist the devil and to abstain from sin and to keep yourself pure until marriage. And they read these and they were absolutely horrified. They said that they were, they were very dramatic and very over the top. But anyway, they basically said that it was anti-gay rhetoric. It was, what else did they say? They said it was homophobic. They said it was volatile. It was hateful speech. But this is just normal Christian doctrine. It's just incredible, like, where we are heading at the moment. And then we just see, just recently, we see our media fawning over the North Korean officials at the Winter Olympics and the North Korean cheerleaders, and yet they're demonizing Vice President Mike Pence for his Christian faith. This just goes to show how much of a parallel universe that we're living in at the moment.
Yeah, it's an extremely odd time. And, you know, one of the things that marvels me is that there was a time in our country, and I would have to say in the moral universe at some point, there was a time when the things that are happening today would have been a moral outcry. There'd been an outrage like there was in Gone with the Wind, you know, frankly, Scarlet, I don't give a darn. And, you know, the nation went crazy. But today the apathy seems to be off the charts because we just hear these stories and we kind of just go, well, yeah, they're putting colors in ashes, and yep, they're blessing the abortion clinics, and yep, you know, they're moving forward. And I guess there's a principal in a school here in the country that has now come out and is transgender principal, and he's going to start dressing as a woman, and it's all, you know, getting ready to go forward in this school. So now the kids will go to school and see principal so-and-so, and he'll be dressed in drag, and he'll be proclaiming that he's a woman, and that'll have a, you know, an impact, a psychological impact on the children. And, you know, it's just all accepted. It's all tolerated. It's all, you know, just, well, as long as it doesn't touch me personally. But you know what, Daniel, it does touch us personally, because the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere is what a lot of Christians are dealing with and don't even know it. When there is this kind of licentiousness, this type of Sodom and Gomorrah activity going on, your soul is picking it up. I don't care what anybody says, unless you're under a hedge and in under the blood, your soul is picking up the winds of all those demonic spirits. And that's why I believe that Lot's soul was vexed every day by the filthy conduct of the wicked, his righteous soul. So we are affected, but we don't even know it, and we're not standing. What's the problem?
Yeah, well, there's a number of different things you raised there, and you're right. I cannot help but think in Jeremiah 51, where it says that Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand. They have drunk of its wickedness, and they have gone mad. The West has gone mad. We have gone mad. You know, other countries, they look at what the West is going through with all this political correctness and all this transgender nonsense, and they're absolutely laughing. They just can't believe it. They just can't believe just how ridiculous things have gone. You know, I shared a video on my Culture War Resource Facebook page probably about a month ago, where it actually showed people from Japan and from China who were laughing at America with all this nonsense going on, with all this madness going on. It's we are in the grip of, and here's the thing, we cannot shake it off. This culture cannot shake it off, and it's the judgment of God. Just as Jeremiah 51 says, the West is going mad. And this is all part of the Romans 1 scenario, where it says that, and God gave them over, and God gave them over, and God gave them over. Three times it says that, and God gave them over to the lusts of their flesh, to do what ought not to be done. You know, and this is what's happening. And because, keep in mind, you know, I think of that scripture in Revelation where it says, consider the height from which you have fallen. And America does need to consider the height from which it has fallen. I mean, if you were to go back 50 years ago, you know, America was a shining bright light for righteousness. It had the moral high ground with all of its military campaigns. But now America is lost. And what's the ironic thing, Vincent, is the fact that technology is soaring ahead. Technology is just exponentially growing and heading upward and upward and upward. It seems that you just cannot keep up with the technological progress at the moment. Yet at the same time, our morality is in free fall. I just think that's extraordinary.
Well,
our morality is an absolute free fall.
And it makes you wonder, Daniel. I believe that God is going to do something great through the church. And I believe the church is universal, not in the Catholic sense, but it is universal, meaning it's made up of people from all over the world. And I do believe God has a plan for these last days to let there be light in the midst of the darkness. However, I believe also that what is important for us to know about the days that we're living in is, when do we enter into the chamber and shut the door? When do we enter into the ark? When does Lot go out of Sodom and Gomorrah? And I believe that we're in that critical moment right now because of everything the way it is. You know, that timing to know what to do, because it seems like our fight against the flood that is entered in and out of the dragon's mouth, there came a flood. It just seems like we're trying to put our finger in the Titanic. You know, we've struck an iceberg and we're trying to hold back the floodwaters by putting our finger in the hole, and it's not working. And our war and our stance we're in a very critical battle right now, spiritually, morally, physically. And you just wonder, when will God say to his people, enter thou into your chamber, shut the door until the indignation be overpassed. Lot, get out. Noah, get in. You know, when does that take place?
That's a good question. And I believe that it will eventually come a time where we would enter into a room, as we read in Isaiah, until his wrath passes by. So I believe that there will come a time when that happens. How that will happen, well, that's a very good question, because we don't know. What we do know is that he will protect his remnant. He will always protect his remnant. You know, and you remember when Elijah complained to the Lord, and he said, Lord, they've killed all the prophets of Baal and I'm the only one left. And God says, that's not true, Elijah. You know, but he says 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. And so that we need to be encouraged to know that if we are walking faithfully with Jesus, if we are listening to the Holy Spirit, then we've got nothing to be worry about. As they say, you know, as the saying goes, the safest place to be is in the will of God. And that's where we need to be. And as far as when is this coming? Well, I think it's rapidly approaching, Vincent. I think it's rapidly approaching, because I don't think we can see just how much more debauched. I don't think we can see how much more evil. I mean, it's just so funny. I mean, the anti-Christian rhetoric at the moment is just fever pitch. You know, just recently on The View, the talk show in on the ABC, on the ABC News, The View, the Joy Behar mocks Mike Pence's Christian faith, and he calls it a mental illness. It's incredible. Calls it a mental illness. Yet they would never call a Muslim's faith who pray to God a mental illness. That's the great irony. You know, it's open season on the Christians, yet championing Islam at the same time. Little do they know, they're inviting their own judgment. They're inviting their judgment upon themselves.
Well, yeah, and again, I want to shift just for a moment. You brought up that remnant, and I was looking at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. It talks about if the Lord hadn't left a very small remnant, we should have all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. So I know he's going to preserve a remnant. You're getting ready, Daniel, to come to the United States in a few weeks, and you're going to be speaking at a conference called Understanding the Times, I believe it is. And you're going to be with some speakers like Joel Richardson and Jake McCandless, and I believe Christopher Manti may or may not be there, and other Tom Doyle and Marty Goetz and his family. It's going to be a great conference if it's anything like we saw over in Tyler, Texas a year ago. And I want to ask you, as you're preparing to make your journey into the United States to speak in Tennessee, that's where the conference is going to be held. As you're coming forward, what is it that God's putting in your heart at this time? If you were to give a little bit of a, you know, preview of what this this weekend conference is all about, what are you sensing in the spirit that God's going to use this conference for?
Well, that's a good question. I've really been seeking God hard. I've been going after God very hard, seeking the Lord, fasting and praying. And I honestly believe that God has a warning within me. And there's an admonishment, but there's a warning. But also at the same time, people need to know that they shouldn't despair about this. God is completely in control. So when things happen, we need to understand that God is completely in control. But the thing we need to remember that God is a God of great mercy and great love, but he's also a God of justice. He's also a God of justice, and we need to remember that. One thing that I'll just see if I can find quote. Here it is here. Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, and remember, he said this all the way back then. He said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." Wow. He said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." Now, he said that back then, and look where we are now, you know, and the more that the wickedness goes on unchecked, the more the judgment, the more the extreme judgment will be. So, yeah, this is where we're at the moment. Now, Arnold Joseph Toynbee said this. He said, of the 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, he said, 19 of them collapsed when they reached the moral state the United States is in now. Sobering, isn't it?
Yeah, it's extremely sobering. And, you know, I'm thinking you brought something up earlier about the technological explosion that we're witnessing in our generation through artificial intelligence. And I was thinking, you know, if everything went for 100 more years and we were going to leave behind the message that we're preaching right now to a generation 100 years from now, how society will look on its present course with artificial intelligence, with, you know, technology. It's not just the immoral behavior of men and women having sexual misconduct and, you know, all of these things that we've often talked about. But I think there's another offense that is very dangerous from world powers, and that is exalting man to be God. And I look at this artificial intelligence, and I'm beginning to focus in a little bit more and understand that artificial intelligence is the technocrats of our age saying to the world and to the church, you guys have failed. Your governments have failed. Look at the condition of the world. Your religion has failed. Look at the condition of the world. You guys are not getting the job done. The world is in chaos. Your Christianity hasn't done it. Your Catholicism hasn't done it. Your Islam hasn't done it. Your governments haven't done it. So we, the technocrats, the scientific community, the engineers of our day, we are going to bring healing and restoration to this world through our artificial intelligence. And we are going to cause the world to really wake up to the grand reality of, you know, of man's ability. And Daniel, this too is an offense because man is taking glory unto himself. And that is in the heart of these technocrats and these scientists.
Can I just go out on the limb here? And I need to make it very clear that I'm purely speculating. I'm speculating when I say this. But we're seeing AI just really take off at the moment. The amount of the billions upon billions of dollars that is being invested into AI is truly worrying, truly scary. I mean, they are trying to advance this artificial intelligence where they can basically have a complete replica human, a replica human. And think about that. What I think we will see in the future is where extremely wealthy people will basically pay money for their own clone. Their own clone. So they basically can half their workload. So that, and I think this, and again, this is conjecture. This is, I'm completely speculating. I freely admit this. But I think, you know, when we read that in Revelation where it says that anyone would come and worship the beast and his image, I often think about what it meant when it says and his image. And also think, I cannot help but think about the whole advancement with AI. And I wonder whether the Antichrist, when he comes, whether he will have a replica AI droid, so to speak, that would be his image. I mean, again, this is all conjecture, but I'm just putting it out there. It's a possibility. So, yeah.
So we have that in Saudi Arabia. This one robot is Sophia, and I've heard some conversations about her legal citizenship in Saudi Arabia, and she's out comedying the funniest people on the world. She's got a sense of humor, and she's out debating some of the greatest debaters in the world. She's out intelligencing some of the most brilliant people in the world, and so. I could see, like in the days of Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar, they created an image and everybody was supposed to worship it. And in Revelation 13 in the last days, they will create an image and everybody will be called to worship and obey it. And I could see this this idea of Adolf Hitler saying of the white, blue-eyed race that, you know, the Aryan race, that we are the superior race. And so taking that, you know, 100 million times beyond himself into the Antichrist in the last days, some kind of robotic image of something more intelligent than a human being, something that is way beyond, that is immortal in a sense because of its robotic function. Yeah, I mean, it's all there, and there's a lot of room for these things to come to power.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But the thing that worries me is that what they're trying to do is that they're trying to merge biochemistry with AI. They're trying to merge biochemistry, like they want brain that runs on chemicals for the for these particular droids. And this is really worrying. And again, we've seen this hybrid race that's being developed before our eyes. And again, I cannot help but think before the time of Noah's flood. You know, in Genesis 6, when it says the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and this is where the Nephilim came from, which was like a hybrid mixed race. We're kind of seeing like an offshoot of that. It's kind of like a foreshadowing of what happened in the time of the flood, but it's happening in our age at the moment. And I think you can't, you know, and again, you read in Isaiah where it says that where God says, "I will reveal the end from the beginning." So we understand what's going to be happening in the end by understanding what happened in the beginning. And when we look at the extreme sin, I mean, the sin was so extreme that God, you read one of the saddest verses in the Bible where it says that he regretted that he had made mankind. I mean, that breaks my heart every time I read that scripture. But this is where we're heading. We're getting to the point where the thoughts of man are exceedingly wicked all of the time. Where they, you know, and I was only just thinking this the other day when I was watching, my wife had the TV on, and we tried to go from channel to channel, and every time we went to a channel, they would say something that was offensive, and so we thought, oh, let's just go to the next channel. So we'd go to the next channel, and then they would say something offensive, or there would be some kind of a sexual innuendo, and it's like, you cannot go anywhere. You cannot hide from this stuff. You cannot avoid this stuff. It's like their thoughts are continually wicked all the time, just as we saw in the days of Noah. So, yeah, and then we have the LGBT crew who are waving a rainbow flag, which in reality they are confronting God to his face. They are basically, how would you say, flipping up their finger up at God whenever they wave that flag. In other words, they're taunting God to his very face and waving that rainbow flag, which is the covenant symbol in which God put in the sky, in which he promised he would never destroy the world for their wickedness by a flood. And it's just remarkable times we're living in, Vincent.
Daniel, this is just one example, and a very small one in comparison to what's going on around the world. The LGBT community, people that are, you know, thus minded, the progressive left, the, you know, promoters of abortion and, you know, sexuality and all that, they would do everything and anything within their power to kill the Holy Spirit. I really believe that if the technological scientists of our day could somehow put the Holy Spirit in a little box, capture it out of the heart of men, and say, we're going to take that Holy Spirit and put a box, they would imprison it and kill it. They really want to kill the Holy Spirit. They want to kill God. They want to kill Jesus. And they want to kill the vessels that carry the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, in their hearts and their minds and their faith. And this is where this is all going. And you mentioned that they want to create a brain within one of these bots that is moved by chemicals. And our whole brain sensory mechanism is all chemicals. And so they're really wanting to put this together. But the thing that will never succeed is, as long as the Holy Spirit in the heart and mind of a believer, truth will exist, light and understanding and wisdom will be found. And so this is the greatest time of tribulation, where they will do everything. This beast in Revelation 13 will actually have success over the saints of God for a period of time in making war with them. I mean, this is war against God, and it's coming, and it is vicious, and there is power and success for a period of time.
Yeah, that's right. And the sword, which is coming, The sword of judgment is coming through Islam. Make no mistake about that. God is allowing Islam to come into the West as a form of judgment. Someone asked me, you know, who is the more dangerous threat, the left or Islam? And in a heartbeat, I said the left. And the reason why I said the left is because they are empowering Islam. They are the ones that are opening the doors to Islam. They are the ones that are bringing Islam in as much as they possibly can. I mean, the whole debate over DACA, the whole debate over the Dreamers is all about opening the floodgates to immigrants. They want to, you know, well, there is a bunch of different motivations that the Democrats have. I mean, namely, they want to flood America with Democrat voters, because immigrants, you know, who are on welfare will always vote left, their strategy. So, so this is the challenge that we're facing at the moment, and the challenge that America is facing at the moment, because the left is gaining more and more power. They're gaining more and more momentum. And they are bulldozing their way through all these institutions. You know, initially they was just a bunch of noisy activists that you would see down at your local universities. But now they've captured Hollywood. Now they've captured many of the courts. They've captured all the education institutions. Well, not all of them, but I would say the vast majority of them, especially the humanities. See, they've captured all these institutions. They've captured the media. And so now, you know, to be a Christian and to stand up your faith in America in these days is going to be very, very challenging. I mean, 30 years ago, it was very easy to be a Christian, but now it's quite difficult. You know, I often remember of the quote by George Orwell, who said that the further a society drifts away from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And boy, right he is. But really, this is the same thing that Jesus said. He said that light has come into the world, but the wicked hate the light. Those in darkness hate the light. And so we see this principle that evil people hate good people. And the more our society becomes wicked, the more our culture is on this trajectory towards evil and wickedness, the more it will absolutely hate Christians with a unbridled rage. This is what we're seeing. You know, we're starting to see, I don't know whether you've noticed it, Vincent, but one of the things I've noticed as I do my research into the culture wars at the moment is that the whole reverse racism is just really getting out of control. Like the hate that's being poured out towards white people is just extraordinary. Like, it's incredible. Look, even Barack Obama unveiled his personal portrait this week. Yet, a lot of people don't realize is that the artist that he chose has been known for doing paintings of black women holding the severed heads of white people. Incredible.
Mm. 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 Obama, the image of he has his image. Well, I don't want to tread down that path right now, but I do want to talk a little bit more about Islam. Daniel, do you believe that it's possible? And I know this takes a lot of sorting out and a lot of studying and confirming and reconfirming and until we get to truth. But do you believe that the mystery Babylon that has existed and does exist today, do you believe that is a global, you know, upper echelon, a cabal, call it whatever you will, that has been actually riding the beast or using Islam, steering Islam, to further its own purpose? For example, you know, is there a greater power over Islam, the religion of Islam, the nation of Islam, is there a power that seems to be steering it to make wars, to bring persecution, to bring terror, so that the globalists, the Babylon, Mystery Babylon, the empire, the world empire, is using them to strike fear so that they can control the masses, and that they have a power to release them at any time. Now, I know scripturally the beast turns on Mystery Babylon, the great whore. I know that happens. But do you see it that way from your perspective?
Just clarify that just a little more.
So let's just say that the United States of America, for example, let's say that all of the trimmings, all of the descriptions seem to fit the bill that the United States in its present state is Mystery Babylon. And that means it would be riding this beast or using Islam to further its own purpose, using Islam to strike terror, using Islam to put blame, false flags.
Yep.
Do you see it that way?
Yep. Yeah, I do. I do. But I think in regard to the whole Mystery Babylon thing, there is a progressive revealing. There is progressive revealing that is going on. And I also need to say that the geopolitical landscape is going to change significantly in the future. So it would not be accurate to say that the United States is Mystery Babylon, because there's going to be some geopolitical changes coming to America's landscape. I think part of the judgment that is resting upon America is going to be massive disunity. You're going to see God do with America what God did with Israel when he split them in two, when he split them into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. We're going to see that, because the polarization between left and right, between conservative and liberal, is becoming so contrasted and so polarized that we're seeing families break up over it. We're seeing husbands and wives split over it. It's becoming incredible, Vincent. Like, they're even talking about some states, even sections of states are seceding. So we're talking about Washington State is talk about seceding, but the eastern half of Washington State, the western half on the coast of Washington State, the western half of Oregon, and the western half of California, which I think is interesting because it's all by the sea. And we read in Revelation where it says that the prostitute sits on many waters. And this is the biblical principle that goes back to Lot. You know, he looked down toward the plains of Zoar and saw that they were well watered like the Garden of Eden. He went and we know that Sodom and Gomorrah were close by the waters. So, you know, it's fascinating, Vincent. I think we're going to see a geopolitical shift. We're going to see, and as much as it breaks my heart to say this, because again, I love your country, but it will no longer be united. It will no longer be united. The unity is going to be taken away. And that breaks my heart. But I feel this is what's going to happen. Now, here's the thing. When that happens, the liberal, leftist, wicked side of that is the one that will be earmarked for massive, massive judgment. And I believe that the prostitute represents all these particular nations, tongues, you know, and I think there will be a coalition. I think that these particular states will join each other in a coalition of defiance toward God, and they will. I wouldn't even surprise if they set about to build their own city as a monument to their own pride, and which is where we see a correlation with the Tower of Babel that we saw in Genesis. And again, that will correlate straight into Revelation 18, where it says the great city would be burned and come down. So, yeah, this is, there's a bit there to think about, but this is something that I've been meditating on. And I can see this clearly as far as trajectories and trends are concerned. When you look at the trends, when you look at the trajectories, America is on an unstoppable course towards a breakup of its union. And it breaks my heart to say that, but that's where I see it coming. America cannot survive the polarization. The polarization is becoming more and more unreconcilable. And I think it's part of God's judgment. But here's the flip side to that. Like the liberal states that break away and want to do their own thing and want to have mass migration and they want to have LGBT and they want to have all the things that liberals love, there'll be massive judgment on that. But on the states that they broke away from, I think God would be kinder. But here's the thing. Just in the same way that the kingdom of Israel was more wicked and the Assyrians came and took away Israel, the kingdom of Israel, it was just a matter of time before Judah became wicked also. So this is what I feel is in my heart to say, but I feel that God has compassion. And he's always outstretching his hands to people for them to repent, to turn away from their sin. And I think God has got a real soft spot for the Bible Belt of America, and in particular places like Arkansas and places like within Louisiana and Tennessee. And I think God has got a real soft spot, and I think there'll be pockets of refuge where God will shelter his people from what's coming.
And Daniel, those pockets of refuge, they have to be areas that have been sanctified and set apart for the purpose of God, for people whose hearts have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, whose consciences are clear, and an atmosphere is something that is tolerable. The atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven has to be in these areas, because what I'm witnessing, even as we're traveling a little bit right now around the country, what I'm witnessing is the moment you leave the habitation where a tremendous work of the Holy Spirit has commenced to create environments and atmospheres of the kingdom of heaven, we don't know how good we have it until we step outside and we walk into these areas where, you know, it's more corrupt, it's more of this city mentality, it's more of the licentiousness, and all of a sudden we're walking around in a windy environment of you know, so much demonic that if you don't put on the full armor of God every single day, if you don't cover yourself under the blood every single day, you're going to get tossed. And, you know, it brings real meaning to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, because to be in the wrong place, I believe people are going to have to suffer some heavy consequences. So, yes, there are cities of refuge. There are places that God has prepared for the elect of God. And what's really frightening is when the saints of God living in regions that are so satanically energized don't feel it, don't know it. That, to me, is a sure sign of the apostasy that's coming. The righteous saints of God, the righteousness of God that's in us, it is vexed by the filthy conduct of the wicked in certain areas of the world. And it's a real call today for men and women of faith to put on holiness and put on the armor of God, because it says that you may be able to stand in the evil day. The evil day. Daniel, sometimes I believe that we're in the evil day.
Yeah. And the thing is, and this is what I was thinking this morning, it's increasing, Vincent. Like, because I'm the editor of Cultural War Resource, like I cast over all these different news articles to put on the website, and it just seems that, man, people's appetite for evil is becoming more and more insatiable, and that's a real concern. And the thing that blows me away, again, I think back to that verse in Revelation where it says, consider the height from which you have fallen. And you think about the principle of the frog in the saucepan. I mean, if you were to take a frog and throw it into a pot of boiling hot water, it would jump straight out. But its reflexes would just jump straight out. But if you were to take that same frog and put it into a pot of cold water and then warm it up ever so slowly, and it would eventually die. you would kill it because it would not, because it's a cold-blooded animal. It doesn't realize that it's that the temperature of the water is heating up to the point that it's killing it. And this is exactly where America finds itself right now. It doesn't realize how far it has fallen. It doesn't realize, you know, and because they are so blinded, they are so caught up in this culture of debauchery and immorality that they're not even noticing the cultural shift. But it has been progressively happening, and God has been watching, and America has not been listening, and it's on a collision course towards judgment.
And what we have done, Daniel, we have turned away from our God. We have turned away from the wisdom of the founding fathers. We have turned away from the wisdom of those in the 1600s that came and planted a cross on the shores of Virginia Beach and declared and dedicated this land to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We have turned away from, you know, the wisdom of those who have gone before us in building churches, not mosques, not Hindu temples or Buddhist temples, who built universities to raise up missionaries to send them to the ends of the earth. We have turned away from God and have worshiped idols, and we are mad upon our idols. I think you brought that up earlier in Jeremiah. We are a nation who is mad upon our idols, and I think the righteous elect of God, that whoever they are, wherever they are truly crying out to God, how long, O Lord, why won't you intervene? Rise and terribly shake the earth, Lord. You know, let the nations know that you are God. And we're in for some real times on this earth, but sadly, to think that we, like Israel, have turned away from our God, embraced other ideas, and now we believe that God is pro-homosexual, God is pro-lesbian, God is pro-abortion. You know, how did we get there? I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, and you know, and then there's the church that have now voted to take away all masculine pronouns that refer to God. They are now having God as gender neutral, removing all masculine pronouns. I mean, this is the height of lunacy. But America is going down the same path of the Roman Empire. It's going down the same path of the Roman Empire. If you were to look at the similarities between America and the Roman Empire, just preceding the collapse of the Roman Empire, you would be astonished. It is just absolutely incredible. But I'm not the only one that's making this observation. Listen to this quote by Ronald Reagan. He said this. He said, "Our nation will prosper or decline in direct proportion to our selection of leaders who are guided by the Holy Spirit. If we fail to select godly leaders, our destiny will surely be that of the Roman Empire." Isn't that interesting? So
yes,
we are seeing this happening, where America is following the same footsteps. And it's interesting because the Apostle Peter actually referred to Rome as Babylon. Isn't that interesting that he would do that?
Yeah.
And now we're seeing the West, we're seeing, you know, America, and not just America, we're also seeing Europe that are absolutely become, it's like the Roman Empire 2.0, and where there's debauchery, there's homosexual marriage, there's licentiousness, you name it. But it's not just what we're seeing from the Roman Empire. We are seeing a summary of every pagan practice from all the previous pagan nations combined within what we're seeing happening in the Western society. And think about that. I think that's part of the reason why John wrote that this was Babylon the Great. In other words, John was saying that this is going to be the Babylon of all Babylons. This is going to be the ultimate summary of a pagan nation that you will ever appear upon the earth. And I think this is why God is reserving so much wrath and so much judgment upon this harlot, this prostitute, that once knew God, that once was brought up, that once had the Bible as its foundation. You go to every major Ivy League university, and you'll notice that it was founded by Christians. You know, the Christian influence is undeniable, yet we have rejected it, and we have prostituted ourselves, and it's absolutely heartbreaking to see where we are now.
Amen. Daniel, I want you to leave us with a quote from Winston Churchill, and I'll tell you the reason why I'm asking you to do that, if you have one available. I was watching a movie, an older movie of Winston Churchill some time ago, a couple of months ago, and it was interesting in the movie that they had sent a package to his house. The kids opened the package, and they got poisoned. And just recently, Donald Trump Jr.'s wife opened a package, and she was hospitalized because of somebody sending a package to the house. And I was thinking about Winston Churchill. And then I'm going to leave with this thought. You leave us with the Churchill thought. But I'm going to leave with this thought, because up next is Patricia Joy, my beloved wife. She's going to be talking about this issue. The thing that marvels me more than anything in the whole world is that in these last days, actual demonic, evil, wicked spirits are going to be taking over human beings. And when I think about the invasion, the violation of an unclean spirit dwelling in a human being, which is biblical, we saw Jesus in his day casting out demons everywhere, that kind of invasion's coming, and it begins with a little leaven, a little compromise. And so I want to encourage everybody to stay up, on the things of God. Leave us with a quote from Winston Churchill today, Daniel.
Well, I don't necessarily have one from Winston Churchill, but I've got another one that I think was appropriate. And this is really interesting to hear. But Walter E. Williams said this, and I think it's interesting. He says, "I am not saying that we are a totalitarian nation yet, but if you ask the question, which way are we headed? Tiny steps at a time. Are we headed toward more personal liberty or more government control over our lives? And it would have to unambiguously be the latter, more government control over our lives." That's where we're heading. But the flip side is that Jesus Christ is the answer to freedom. Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. If you are bound up, if you are under slavery, if you are absolutely in bondage to something, you can know that Jesus Christ has the power to set you free and to bring you into true freedom.
Well, amen to that. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the quotes that I'm gonna mess it up really bad from Churchill was, "Never give up, never quit, never give in," something to that effect. And I would have to leave our listeners today with those thoughts. Don't give up, saints of God. Don't throw in the towel. Get stronger and stronger. Get into the secret place. Get empowered. Get strengthened. Get wise. Get wisdom. Stay close to the heart of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit completely take over. And know this, that no man is going to take that Holy Spirit from you. We have the victory in the last days. It's going to come to pass, but we're in an amazing moment of time. To talk more about it is Patricia Joy. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. We can't wait to see you in the month of March as you prepare for your upcoming conference. And before you come here, we're going to talk more about that hopefully next week. Daniel Seckham, God bless you, my friend, and we will talk very soon.
God bless you too.
Amen. All right. Up next, ladies and gentlemen, Patricia Joy, when we talk about the invasion of demonic spirits in the soul of man, I don't think, Patricia, anybody can underestimate that claim that it's going to come to pass and already is.
Hello, 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 people of God and the remnant people of God, in which we are preparing for. You heard it. The truth was revealed to you as you listened to the program today, Pastor Vincent, program with Daniel from Australia. Couldn't be more absolutely right on for the times we're in and what God is about to do. He's about to bring forth his remnant people. And you may be asking, well, what is the remnant? Who are they? What is that all about? Well, the remnant are people of unshakable integrity, Search your heart. Do you have that? It's imperative that we go in that direction. Now, there's going to be warfare against it, of course. And that's why I wrote my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, in which we have a right to. And these remnant people love truth and are totally honest. Listen to me one more time on this. They love truth and are totally honest. They're not fearful. They're not afraid. So they're not afraid to hear the truth of what's coming upon the earth. They are rising up mightily, and they are being protected by the Spirit of the living God. It's in the Bible, in Zephaniah 3:13, where it says, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Listen, shall not do iniquity. Now, your iniquity was forgiven, and it's up to you to keep it in that way. They will not speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Remember, I said they are not fearful people. They shall feed on the word of God. They shall lie down on green pastures, comforted with peace. I'm adding to this, of course. And none shall make them afraid. Now, compare this with Revelation 14, 1 through 5. And many are afraid of the book of Revelation. They stay away from it. They're afraid they're not going to be able to understand it, take it wrong. Trust in the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. Because the scriptures tell us that those who are involved in the book of Revelation definitely shall be blessed. It's an end time blessing. And although Satan deceives the whole world, and you see that and you hear that from the last program you listened to, Pastor Vincent and Daniel from Australia, although Satan deceives the whole world, he does not succeed in deluding the remnant. He does not succeed in deluding the remnant. How incredible is that? Don't you want to be part of that remnant end time army? For they are loyal to God. They will not receive the deceptions that are being thrown in the direction of this nation and all over the world in the time we're in right now. And they keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus. It's in the Bible, folks. It's in the Bible. Revelation 12:17 tells us the remnant of her seed keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Now that remnant seed is that seed which you have heard about in the scriptures in the book of Revelation, where Satan is angry with God's last day remnant and wages war against them. Do you feel that intensity of the waging of war against the body of Christ? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, and it's in Revelation 12:17. The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed. With the remnant of her seed. The dragon is the devil. That's in Revelation 12:9. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. And tell you, body of Christ, folks, the devil is really being deceptive like I've never seen. When I hear what comes out of the mouth of people right now, I am shocked. They are deceived. Many and many more are becoming that way. Now, the woman symbolically represents God's people. In Jeremiah 6:2, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. In Isaiah 51:16, Zion, thou art my people. And in the New Testament, you know it speaks of it. You have come to Mount Zion, the church of the living God. Hallelujah. And so we have the understanding given to us if we will grab hold of it and be open to it. But then something is going on in the church also. And that is a great attack by the enemy, Satan, to attack the seed, to attack the remnant, to attack God's people. And we need to become victorious. We need to become overcomers of what? Overcomers of the flesh, the devil, and the world. And the Lord told us that he has already overcome the devil, the world, and the flesh. That if we're in him, the possibility is for us if we would only believe. And then there is understanding we must have. And that is how to fight the great deceiver. And that's why the book, Deliverance, a Christian Bill of Rights, was written. It was written that I may help people to understand the great deception and to discern the spirits that are coming against them so that they could become this remnant people in the times in which we're in right now. So let us continue with the actual application of this work. How is it going to be done? When people seeking help present themselves to you, and if you're listening to this program, you probably are one of those. Most of them will not be totally aware that the help they are seeking is spiritual in nature because they've been deceived. Most often they will think their problems stem from persecution by others. They're victims. They are victimized. I hear it from Christians all the time, or a variety of other reasons. And their awareness is dulled by their senses, yet they are desiring help. You're going to see more and more of this come about, around, and about you. If you are a Christian who truly cares about the things of God, people are going to be drawn to you. They're going to see your light. They're going to understand that you have something very special, very wonderful that they want. And that's why I'm going over some of the paragraphs that I ministered 2 days ago to you so that you can understand again, won't have it lost in memory. You should first be aware that the person was sent to you by the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit of God is preparing the person's heart to receive his precious gift of freedom. You want to be free, don't you? Who Christ said free is free indeed. You don't want to be in bondage. You don't want to be vexed by demonic presence. You want to be free. And that's why people who see your freedom will be drawn to you. However, you must also be aware that the person that will be drawn to you will be influenced by two spirits. First, the Holy Spirit, whose purpose is to free that individual. That individual has become a slave. And second, the unholy spirit, whose design is to keep the person enslaved. So are you going to be a slave to God or a slave to the unholy spirit? Both are very possible in this time we're in. So we choose to be a slave unto God, but whose purpose is to free from the enslavery of the unholy spirit. That is who we are setting free. Those who have been enslaved to the unholy spirit and will be set free to be a slave to the Holy Spirit, which is the most incredible experience one could ever have, because there's nothing but truth, the Holy Spirit. I'd rather be a slave to truth than the slave to deception through unholy spirits, whose design is to keep that person exactly there in darkness, not knowing the truth. But the truth is what sets us free. Most of what you see on TV today, being in the news, people that are yelling and screaming on the streets and trying to protest in their way, unless they have the truth, they are darkness, screaming out darkness that they have no idea about, but have been inflicted by the multitudes of people that have carried an unholy spirit and presented deception to them, and they bought it. They bought the lie. And that's what you're seeing, most likely, on TV. There'll be a few protesting in truth, but you'll find that the news media will not allow that to be seen. They will have you see, because they themselves are deceived, the deception that is going on. They will review it as power and might, but it is not power and might. It is weakness and insanity. Now, how do we prepare a person that has come to us and want to be set free? How do we prepare them for deliverance? Well, bring yourself and the person needing deliverance into agreement with God by evoking the name of Jesus over the proceedings. This is imperative in the place you are at. Get a place in which is quiet, which there will not be a lot of noise and distraction around and about you, and bring them into a place where you can invoke the name of Jesus Christ over the proceedings without distraction. Ask for his guidance and protection. And as I said last time I read this to you, that protection will be the angels of God being unleashed to help you in the way, to help you bringing deliverance to that individual. Because what you're going to be is going to be in line with the word of God. And the angels of God will react. They will have their perfect way through the word of God, because the word of God is perfect. It's truth. And they will respond to only truth. And you must know that the demonic spirits, they're all liars and they're all boasters. So you're going to hear lying. You're going to hear boasting. They're going to be full of pride and threats. Be aware and be always watchful and discerning, lest any time they attempt to deceive you. Demons are clever. They have deceived the person that they have overcome. They are very clever, and they want to deceive you. If you know the word of God, that will be almost impossible to do. The word of God will come forth mightily and wonderfully through your mouth, and you will understand who is mocking you and what is the deception being perpetrated against you at the time during deliverance. Encourage the person to be honest about all aspects of his sin life. This is important. The enemy will try to cover it up, but with discernment of spirit, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you will be able to discern that there is a sin life he's not or she's not exposing. So encourage the person to be honest about all aspects of his sin life or her sin life and about generational sin. This is so important. Read about it in Exodus 25. For the sins of the parents are visited upon the third and fourth generation who do not know the truth. And I'll tell you, body of Christ, there is such deception in the world. And that is why I say it over and over again. That is what we are fighting. And deception comes through sin, because it's an open door to activity of the enemy. You should first lead the person to repent from his sin or her sin and search their heart for unforgiveness toward God if they have been in the way of sin, and even if they have been in the way and not have asked forgiveness, it's imperative for them to ask forgiveness toward God or anyone who has offended them. And you're going to find out that this person has been offended, that this person's offense is deep. It became a root of bitterness, opening the door to many satanic ways. And that's why, even though they claim to be Christians in the church, they have not yet dealt with these things. They know that God forgives, and they believe they've been forgiven. But what they have missed upon is that they have not forgiven others. And truthfully, they cannot be forgiven according to the word of God in John unless they have forgiven others. So this is important, very important. And by listening to the Holy Spirit, you will be able to discern if the person has truly repented and has decided to forgive and be liberated from the entrapment of sin. And if they really want this deliverance, but found it very difficult on their own, you are there to help them. Perhaps they find themselves oppressed and depressed with words and wounds so deep against themselves and pain so fierce that their spiritual life is crippled. They read the Bible. They pray. They seek counsel, seemingly without relief. If that is those who have been sent to you, if they feel that they fight a spiritual battle with little or no success, something may have invaded them, putting them into a state of confusion. And the problem is beyond psychology, folks. It's into spiritual warfare. And they have to know that the devil has no legal rights to the Christian. But it is up to the Christian, the one you are delivering, to defend their rights for which Christ has already paid. He offers deliverance. And the Holy Spirit enlightens Christians of their rights. But not all believers understand their rights. Most cases, often, you'll find that they have not even gone into that realm. They often don't know that they are already victorious. They believe themselves to be victims, even though they heard wonderful sermons to teach them the right way. This bondage, vexation, overcomes their ability to receive deliverance. The Christian Bill of Rights, the book I have written, will inform you of your rights as a believer. Learn how to exercise and fight for your rights, not in the courthouses of this world, which many Christians bring others into, which the Bible tells us not to, but go to the courthouse of heaven. There God is to help you in the way. Remember, in deliverance or even in your walk, any sin not confessed and repented of will only keep you or that person under legal captivity to Satan. And Satan will continue to act upon his legal right that he has been given because of the fall, because of our choice. And people, if we were there in that garden, we would have done the same. We have been born in sin, unlike Adam and Eve, but we have been given a right through Jesus Christ to come out of that bondage, of that legal right that Satan had put upon us, or we have received and then been entrapped in. In other words, when one who continues in sin is in direct agreement with Satan, he remains in rebellion to the authority of Almighty God that's spoken of. Psalm 32:5 says it this way: "Then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Do you know what the trouble is with man? He is guilty. Do you know what the trouble is with women? They're guilty. Those who have not been able to overcome in their lives are still carrying guilt. Do you know why man suffers as a result of sin? No matter how hard man tries to be a free thinker, without the accountability to the word of God, he is guilty. You cannot think in your own ignorance. Because of ignorance and failure to seek instructions from God, he fails and suffers from the guilt of sin. Whether he calls himself a Christian or not, it does not matter. He is in agreement with Satan. And of course, Satan then attacks the person legally because of his sin, bringing death to the spirit of man confusion to his mind, and afflictions to his body. But Jesus Christ went to the cross to take away our guilt. Hallelujah. Every one of us has been guilty. Not one of us have been free of this guilt from the fall. We have been born into it. And every one of us has suffered from our guilt because of our sin. We will know that guilt has been a tormenting factor in our lives. To the degree that you give up your sin is the same to the degree that you give up and receive freedom from bondage. What degree have you given up it where you sin? Have you stopped being a liar? Have you stopped lust in your life? The lust of light, the lust of eyes, the lust of your very being? Have you stopped it? To the degree to which you will receive freedom from bondage is to the degree that you give up your sin. Now, most of us are doing better than we used to be or involved with in sin. But many of us are still operating in sin. And we have the power by the Holy Spirit to overcome it. But we allow it to continue. And as you can see, and I have seen so often, the spirit of guilt wants to remain in what it claims as its house. If you're still in guilt and shame, you cannot be an overcomer. You cannot overcome the world, your flesh, and the devil. You won't be able to. You're in deception. But let's look at it. Let's get over it. If you can see that the spirit of guilt wants to remain in you, which claims it as his house, it will do it. And why? Because it has a legal right through sin to remain. And furthermore, guilt is the outcome of unconfessed sin. And of course, sickness and disease are the outcome of sin manifested through guilt. You see how it works? Do you understand what I am saying to you? Most Christians are still in their guilt, or so-called Christians are still in their guilt and shame. They still have unconfessed sin in their lives. And that unconfessed sin will cause sickness and disease, and they are the outcome of sin manifested through guilt. All of that I had mentioned. They're not aware. They haven't been taught properly. The deception has come through the manifestation of those that they have listened to as ministers of God, pastors in the church, who themselves are deceived and do not see the truth to be spoken rightfully to the body of Christ, that they may be totally and completely delivered from deception. They have been taught doctrine themselves in the institutes in which they learned by, to the schools of theology that they have gone to. God is desiring to set us free. The minister who has been preaching in false doctrine, those that have been deceived by their own sin, God wants to set us free. And who Christ sets free is free indeed. For what purpose and reason? So that we will be the remnant people that have been called to be in the last days and not overcome by the evil one, which has been said many will walk away from the faith. You don't want to be among them. You want to be among the truth. God bless you. I hope you decide to purchase Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, go to Amazon and type in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, buy the book, receive it, and read it, and help others also. God bless you.